Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, Principal for Operations and Quality at Vizient and Practicing Internist. On this episode, I talk with Dr. Rick May about the importance of preoperative clinics to a thriving and successful surgery department. Rick, welcome to Modern Practice.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
So remind us about your background and your current role here at Vizient.
Well, Tom, I've been doing this for a long time. I started back almost 30 years ago. I'm an orthopedic trauma surgeon. I trained and worked in Colorado for a long time. Going back about 15 years ago, I got excited about doing quality improvement and started doing consulting in that area. And now I head up the Vizient Clinical Quality Improvement Consulting Team.
So, Rick, why is the approach of driving surgery quality different today than it was, say, 10 years ago?
Well, Tom, I'll tell you, it's been a remarkable time over the last 10 years or so in terms of looking at surgery quality and really the term you call perioperative medicine. There's been this remarkable explosion of new research and new best practices that have come out, which has really transformed how we look at quality and also how we really drive quality in the hospital setting.
So what is perioperative medicine and why is it important to surgery quality today? I believe I understand what I do already in the office, but it's now really gone to a different level.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Tom. And what's amazing is that if you look back again, the history of kind of how we managed surgical quality and really the patients before and after surgery, especially, a lot of times there was, frankly, we sort of ignored really the opportunities to really optimize patients prior to surgery. And we sort of said, well, we'll figure it out kind of afterwards. And another thing about surgical quality, for such a long time, we had so much focus on the surgeons, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, so I'm an orthopedic surgeon. And in my world, we kind of feel like if I do great stuff with my magical hands, then everything's going to turn out just fine.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, if you look at the new information, you look at the new data around this, the variation in surgery quality is actually remarkably small. The difference between a great surgeon and a pretty mediocre surgeon is pretty tiny. But what really drives quality outcomes in a hospital when it comes to surgery is not so much what's happening in the operating room. I mean, you have to get that part right, but that's not that hard to do anymore. What really drives great outcomes is to have a great system, meaning a great preoperative process, great systems in terms of how you manage those patients postoperatively in the hospital, and also a great post-discharge system as well.
Rick, when I think about the effects of the pandemic now, more of my patients with chronic disease are actually having far greater issues with their chronic disease. There's things that haven't been discovered because of lack of access during the pandemic. And I would well imagine that this directly affects when you're evaluating your patient for surgery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the numbers are kind of fascinating. If you look at postoperative complications, you look at that entire profile, we kind of break it into two big buckets. One we call technical and one we call medical. The technical is the stuff related, as you might imagine, specifically to the surgeon's technique. If they don't close the wound well, or if they put a trocar through the aorta, that's the technical stuff. The medical stuff is directly related to those patients' medical conditions, particularly the chronic conditions. What's fascinating is, if you look at the profile for most hospitals, technical complications only make up about 10% or less of all the complications you see. So what really drives the overall quality, the overall complication profile for a hospital is all that medical stuff. And like you said, Tom, because of the pandemic, so many patients have been undermanaged, underevaluated, underoptimized. And so coming into the OR, there's just a huge amount of things we don't know about them. And if we do find out, a lot of times issues that haven't been taken care of before they come to the OR. Hospitals with great preoperative clinics, obviously their job is to identify all of those really relevant risk factors. And frankly, the more sophisticated ones don't just say, hey, we're going to identify them and turn it over to the surgeons to figure that out. They actually, besides evaluating those patients in a really thorough way, they actually go to the next level, which is to optimize all those patients before they come into surgery.
Therein lies the greater difference between these perioperative clinics now versus in the past then.
Well, that certainly is one aspect of it, Tom. And one of the challenges has been, you know, I think before, because we really under-recognize the importance of that really, really great evidence-based pre-op evaluation. Frankly, we let sort of anybody and everybody do those pre-ops. That was one of the sort of the biggest differences between in the past and what we're trying to really push for today. And make the point is there's so much more to know in terms of perioperative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Perioperative medicine is really the science of how we manage patients from a medical standpoint, preoperatively, intraoperatively, postoperatively. There's as much to know now in perioperative medicine as there is in cardiology or, you know, urology or orthopedic surgery, or those other big specialties. And so one of the challenges we face is where before, like I said, almost anybody could do a pre-op. I always sort of pick on my surgeon colleagues. I think orthopedic surgeons are probably the worst at doing pre-ops. It was basically, yeah, the patient's breathing, and so therefore they're okay for surgery.
Right.
There has to be a much more sophisticated approach to the evaluation. And even the questions we ask, the things we look at, the things we want to include in that evaluation have really evolved over the last 10 to 15 years.
And the truth is, there's elements to this. What are those elements when considering a preoperative clinic?
Well, if you think about what goes into a preoperative clinic process, there's a bunch of different pieces what we could include potentially. And it's important to think about this as a system of care, starting well before the patient comes to the hospital in that preoperative piece, which again feeds into what we do intraoperatively and also how we manage the patients postoperatively and post-discharge. But if you think about the clinic itself, the best things we see happening today where the evolution of preoperative clinics include these sort of key pieces. Mm-hmm. One is 100% of elective surgery patients should all go through some version of this new pre-op clinic process. Now, it may be that people coming in for very simple surgeries like a cataract, for example, maybe that evaluation is pretty small, pretty limited. But what we see consistently is hospitals have really solid preoperative clinics sometimes, but not all the patients go through. And a lot of the times they rely on the surgeons to kind of pick out the best patients who should go through and who shouldn't go through. And it turns out the surgeons are actually fairly lousy at that. They don't pick the right patients sometimes. So one of the key elements is 100% of the patients should be going through that preoperative process. Number two, as I kind of alluded to before, because there's so much new science, as it turns out, and this is going to sound like a bold statement, but I'll stand by it. For the most part now, the average primary care physician in the community, the average surgeon, anesthesiologist even, the average hospital medicine person, unless they've gone back in the last 2 or 3 years and gotten additional training in perioperative medicine, they're really not qualified anymore to do preoperative evaluations if they really want to apply the best evidence-based care. There's just so much happening and so much evolving now. They really aren't ready to do that yet. They aren't qualified anymore. So what you need to see in that preoperative clinic is not just 100% of patients going through, but also providers that have really been trained in perioperative medicine.
Rick, you don't have to answer this one, but I'm going to ask the question anyways. Okay. There's a lot of it has to do with just turf wars. I mean, many of us are actually compensated by productivity, and that's where I actually see some of the barriers.
I think it's certainly this kind of politics and turf stuff that can't be ignored in the hospital.
Right.
There's always been sort of the traditional who gets the control of the patient, but also who gets to bill for the patient. I think fortunately we're seeing that evolve. Again, we talk about a modern, really high functioning preoperative clinic. Some of the other elements are, for example, we want to include both anesthesia and hospital medicine and the surgeons, mm-hmm. and also to a certain extent, reach out to the primary carers in the community. They should all be part of the team that puts together this new version of the preoperative clinic. So that's number one, include everybody. But at the end of the day, you also need to have some pretty direct conversations about saying, listen, whoever's doing this evaluation, whoever's going to bill for it, is going to make money off of it. We have to make sure that at the end of the day, it's really what's best for the patient.
Right.
If you're saying, hey, I'm going to throw somebody a bone and let them bill for something, even though it's to the detriment of the patient, we really have to address that pretty directly. We can't let that continue.
So who should be staffing the perioperative clinic today and why?
Well, as I mentioned right now, because there's so much new information, unless you go back to one of the courses that come out, you know, a couple times a year, there's stuff evolving on a monthly basis about how to manage patients differently today than we did a few years ago. To have someone do that sort of in their spare time, to say, hey, we'll find an anesthesiologist of the day to kind of wander by the clinic and help out, or maybe we'll find a hospital medicine person to come by a couple of days a month, that doesn't really cut it anymore. What you need are folks that are dedicated to this process, that basically have gone to the courses, that do this on a regular basis. It's kind of like saying you wouldn't want your cardiologist to kind of dabble in placing splints a couple of days a month. It's the exact same thing with perioperative medicine. You need specific providers that can do this. Now, most of the clinics we see today, the primary provider tends to be an APP, meaning a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. Mm-hmm. Primary reason for that is you want practitioners, you want providers in that clinic that can see patients relatively independently, that can assign diagnoses, and that can also basically order labs and interpret labs themselves. Again, so that tends to be the best practitioner for that. Usually those clinics are, again, sort of the frontline providers tend to be APPs and then backed up by a physician with experience in perioperative medicine.
So Rick, in your opinion, what are the three most important characteristics of a great perioperative clinic today?
100% of patients coming for elective surgery need to be seen by some version of this. If not, they're going to drop out. We do root cause analysis. We find consistently that patients who should have been gone through the preoperative clinic haven't been seen appropriately, or if they have, they haven't been optimized. So that's number one. Number two is practitioners that are trained, that are up to date in modern perioperative medicine, perioperative science. And number three, I think the biggest piece is to have a system whereby when a patient's seen in that great preoperative clinic, that something happens with the information. I can't tell you how often we see this. We see even hospitals with a good preoperative clinic do a fantastic, great evaluation, this beautiful four-page tome with all this detail, mm-hmm. and they push it into the care system, and it turns out actually nobody's reading it. Nothing happens. Patients with identified renal issues, for example, nobody modifies their care plans to really take that into account. So you've got to have that continuity from the preoperative clinic doing its great job on the front end, but you got to be able to use that information effectively all the way through that patient's care.
So I certainly see for the purposes of quality, but with many of our organizations actually struggling with their margins right now, what are the benefits of the hospital in actually creating a great preoperative program?
Well, Tom, that may be one of the most critical questions there is, because we go so often to hospitals and we talk with them and the clinicians get excited. They're like, yes, we've been talking about this for years. We want to do this. We know the science is out there. We really want to provide that higher level of care. But hospitals are in a tough place today. We know that. We know they're struggling from a staffing standpoint, from a finance standpoint. There's all those issues today. So we make the point is, listen, if you're struggling as a hospital from an efficiency standpoint, from a staffing standpoint, from a financial standpoint, there is nothing better you could do to help your hospital today than really put in a great preoperative clinic. And here's why. A couple of things will happen. One is that by having this much more efficient system, how you're seeing the patients early on, getting those evaluations done well, it's going to improve your quality. It's going to decrease your complications overall. Again, there was a day not too long ago that hospitals got paid a lot more for bad outcomes than good outcomes. And that is really going away now. If hospitals really want to watch their bottom line, they need to be aware of the fact that complications in this country add about $25,000 on average to direct costs. So it's a big, big deal. And if the hospitals aren't getting paid for that, that's going right to their bottom line. It's hitting them as a financial detriment. Number two is there's other things along the way, for example, like same-day surgery cancellations. Mm-hmm. A good preoperative clinic should knock down that volume of same-day surgery cancellations. And again, it's been estimated that a day of surgery cancellation, a morning of surgery, can cost the hospital up to $20,000, essentially an opportunity cost, by having an OR sitting empty when they could have a case in there. On the back end too, the other hospital thing we see, which is consistently a problem today, a big struggle, is hospitals having problems with length of stay issues. They can't control the length of stay very effectively, and also with readmissions. And a preoperative clinic has been shown to basically reduce lengths of stay, not just for the patients with complications, but for all patients. It just makes the system much more efficient, and it also decreases readmissions as well.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I want to thank Dr. Rick May for joining us, and he'll be returning next week for our discussion on splitters. Who are they and how hospitals can attract them and their surgical practices? And if you'd like to contact Rick, we put his email in the resource section of our podcast page. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send me your comments, please contact me at our email at modernpracticepodcast.com. We posted a link in our resource section. And please join us for other Modern Practice Podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks so much for listening.